Well, my father had a saying growing up. He said, David, smart people learn from their mistakes, but smarter people learn from other people's mistakes. What if you could learn some of the deepest lessons in life from those people who have been there first? What if you didn't have to experience those low moments, but instead could learn from the stories of others? Well, that's a question we're asking ourselves in our sermon series this month. We're calling it What Matters Most, Stories from People Who Have Been There Before. It's a sermon series where we're looking at some of the most important aspects of life. And then we've gone and found people in our congregation, people right beside you who have been there, who are willing to share their testimony about what they've learned in those moments. And so if you were with us last week, you'll remember we talked about calling, and we heard the beautiful story of our own Catherine Wells, who talked about how God called her to make a change in her life. God called her to a new form of serving in the world. And this morning we come to another important topic, and that's the topic of presence. Or as one friend likes to say it, it's the spiritual practice of making sure your head and your feet are in the same place. What does it mean to be present? Fully present with God. We're going to look at that question, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Amen. Well, at approximately 11 o'clock in the morning, on Monday, July 9th, I took a large breath, and I did the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. I checked my email after 6 weeks of sabbatical. You see, when I was away this summer, I didn't check my messages at all. 46 consecutive days. Now, let me ask you, how many emails do you think a person has waiting for them when they've been gone for 6 weeks in a row? The answer? 511. 511. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, 500, that's not that many. And maybe you do receive 500 emails every week, but I'm here to tell you, these are 511 emails people sent me when they knew I wasn't checking email. I looked at the screen, and all I could think to myself is, why, God, did I not ask for 7 weeks of sabbatical? Have you been there before? Staring at that screen, feeling that overwhelm when you realize that there's too much to do, not enough time to do it, and it will never get done. 511 emails. I was talking to a friend of mine recently. He told me he had just completed a project he called his brain dump. He said it was a project where he went around and he got all of his different to-do lists in life, both at work and at home, and he wanted to consolidate them into one master list. Now, this is something he wanted to do no matter how big or how small the project was. So, I mean, he included things like change air filters at home, pick up cat food at the store, go plan your 10-year anniversary with your wife. Anything he wanted to get done, he put down on the list. I said to him, that sounds like a great idea. I said, tell me, how long did your master list end up being? He said, 13 pages, typed, single-spaced. Do you know that feeling? That feeling of overwhelm. When the responsibilities that surround you begin to overtake you. 511 emails, 13-page to-do list, and you're not sure how it's all going to get done. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, tell my sister to help. You know, perhaps we should forgive Martha for being a little distracted when she went to visit Jesus that morning with her sister Mary in Bethany. After all, Martha's to-do list was a mile long. It's not every day that the Son of God comes to your house and you are asked to entertain and provide a meal. So perhaps we should not fault Martha for being a little distracted, going around cleaning baseboards and getting the grout in the bathroom to look sparkling white. After all, that's what you do when you're a hostess, isn't it? The hostess goes and makes sure she attends to all the details so no one else has to. You go and you go and you work and you work. Because you remember, this party, it's not for you after all. You're the host. The party is for everyone else. And so you answer the emails. You check off the to-do list. You make sure the work gets done and you don't stop until it's over. You go and you go and you go and you don't slow down. Did you know, according to a British researcher by the name of Richard Wiseman, the speed of walking in urban areas has increased 10% over the last two decades? Think about that. We're moving faster now than we've ever moved before in our life. The world is speeding up. Did you know, according to a Pew Research study released this past August, that Americans age 13 to 17 have a 95% rate of using smartphones, and that over half of them claim to use the internet, quote, almost constantly. Lord, Martha said, Lord, tell my sister to help. You see, we're moving faster now. We're accomplishing more than we've ever accomplished in our life, and yet in a way, it's as if life, it's just passing us by. We've been going and going and achieving and doing and responding, but somewhere along the way, we've lost something, and it's something that we used to have. Maybe that's why the average American is 20 pounds overweight, $10,000 in debt, slightly depressed, and dislikes their job. It's because we've been going for more, and somehow we've ended up with less. Martha, Martha, Jesus said. Martha, you're distracted by many things, but there is need of only one thing. Your sister Mary, she's chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Jesus asked Martha why she's going for perfect, when the only thing he's ever asked her to do is be present. The only thing he's asked of her is simply to pay attention to the fact that he is sitting in her very presence. He just invites her to open her eyes. There's an old Yiddish tale about a young man from Krakow named Isaac, who one night dreamt he saw a great treasure hidden under a bridge in Warsaw. Well, the story goes, the next morning when Isaac awoke, he decided to follow his dream. And so he packed a bag, and he traveled to Warsaw to try and find that treasure. He went to the bridge he saw in his vision. And when he got there, he saw there was a watchman standing guard. And so all day and night, Isaac paced back and forth across the bridge, waiting for the watchman to leave, but he never left. Finally, the watchman approached Isaac and asked him what he was doing. And Isaac told the truth. He said that he had dreamt there was a treasure under the bridge, and he had decided to come to see if he could find it. Well, with that, the watchman simply let out a laugh. "That's ridiculous," he said. "To travel all this way for a treasure you dreamt about? Well, he said, "I dreamt about a treasure last night too. But in my dream, the treasure was hidden under the mattress of some poor man named Isaac in Krakow." Sure enough, Isaac returned home, and he looked under the mattress, and there he found the very treasure he was seeking. Yes, make no mistake about it, the treasure you're looking for in this life, it's not on the other end of your to-do list. The riches that you seek are not found at the bottom of an inbox. The treasure you're looking for in this life is right in front of you, because you see, the holy moment, the moment where God is present, is the present moment. The moment where Jesus is the very moment you are living right now. You are standing on holy ground, God says. "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place," Jacob exclaimed to the angels. "Be still and know that I am God," the psalmist writes. "The kingdom of God, it's all around you," Jesus said to his disciples. "The treasure is here. It's as close as the person seated next to you. In fact, the treasure might just be the person seated next to you." Martha, Martha, Jesus said, Martha, you're worried, you're distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. See, Jesus stops, and he tells Martha, she doesn't have to live like that anymore. You don't have to live like that anymore. We don't have to live like that anymore, because Jesus has freed us from the burden of trying to keep up with a world that simply won't slow down. He's reminded us the thing we truly seek has been with us this entire time. Now, some of you might know Holly McDowell at our church. Holly is a mother of two. She teaches over at Sandhills Community College. Over the past few years, just here at Pinehurst United Methodist, she has been our finance chair. She has been our children's council chair. She has been a youth volunteer, St. Holly of the Pines, we call her. And she's someone who's been there before and struggled with this question of how do you be present when life is pulling you in 1,000 different directions? This is what she has to say to us.
Recently, I was spending time with my son, and he's in preschool, so we have a lot of time together, and I just realized even though we have a lot of time together, we were not spending quality time. I was not really doing anything with him that he and I enjoyed that would be a memory when he grew up, that he would say, oh, Mom and I used to do this. And that really bothered me, that I was letting the to-do list take over my life. I had to realize everything doesn't have to get done. So a big part of being present for me is looking at my calendar every week and saying, what can wait or just be knocked off the list altogether? I also had to realize everything doesn't have to be perfect. If we're having friends over, it's okay if there's a little bit of a mess in some of the rooms they're going to see. Or I don't have to make my kids keep everything maybe the way I would want it sometimes, because it's more important for us to spend the time together. So it's more prioritizing what's most important and letting other things go and realizing you can't say yes to everything. Some things just aren't meant for you to do. Being present is a journey. And so my wish would be that they would take one step on that journey. And I have to say, you mentioned that I read the book Present Over Perfect, and several people who read it said it didn't give you a formula, and it doesn't. It talks about that it's a journey, and you have to find one way to realize you can be more present, either with God or with those around you. And for me, one of those things was first thing in the morning, realizing that I needed to start the conversation with God about, this is what's going on today, this is what's heavy on my heart, help me to let that go and be present with those around me, help me show your love to those around me. Jesus is just the example of this. Everything you read about him, he's unhurried, he takes time to stop and pray, he rested, he fed people, but he never seemed to be in a hurry to get to the next place or do the next thing. Over and over, you just read of him going away to rest or being late to heal someone because he took his time to get there. And so it's just an example that even though we might have a lot going on, that we don't have to live a rushed and hurried life. We can be in relationship and enjoy those around us in the process.
Martha, Martha, Jesus said, you're worried and you're distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better parts. Jesus says you don't have to live like that anymore, because the kingdom you seek, the riches you seek, are all around you, so don't miss it. Don't miss it. By the way, you know those 511 emails I had waiting for me in July? Do you know how long it took me to get through all of them and get back to inbox zero? 36 minutes. And it's true, some of the messages were important, but none of the emails was holy. Because the holy moment is the present one. And the kingdom, it's been with you this whole time. Thanks be to God. And amen. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that indeed you call us to live a life where our heart is set to you. We thank you, God, that you call us to be people of peace in a world that can't stop moving. We pray, God, that you would always use us and that we would always have eyes to see the kingdom that has come. For we offer this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.